You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
It's another Saturday here on the Civic Media Sports Network, which means it's time for Make the Call. Good morning, everybody. I am Jimmy Kustka, and I am joined by the full roundtable this week. That includes Gray Gunderson up in Park Falls. Gray, it's supposed to snow today.
It's supposed to snow every day for like the next few days, and I'm upset about it. That's actually why my wave was more like a Jedi mind trick. I'm trying to forget.
Conrad over in Green Bay. I don't know if you're getting snow that far south, but it is November in Wisconsin.
You know, it's chilly, but I don't think there's going to be any snow.
And Parker Olson in Madison, continuing the meteorology theme. I don't know how you feel about November and snow, but to me, it's too early.
It's got to be after Thanksgiving. Once we get past Thanksgiving, then it's allowed to snow.
All right. We are on to Make the Call today. We have a lot coming up on today's program. Going to be very college heavy. We're going to talk both Badgers and WIAC today. Around that, we have plenty of things to talk about in the sports world. It's been an incredibly busy week this week, and we have so much to get to. So we begin every show on Make the Call here at 7 a.m. with our top seven at seven. And number seven this week, how concerned are you by the Packers' loss last week? We'll start with Gray.
Moderately concerned. Not as concerned as the talking heads might have you believe. There were scary things. We've got to have better decision making out of Jordan Love. That pick was absolutely absurd, but I think it might just be because he got impatient. Also, we've got to actually find ways to get our execution quicker. Seven possessions wasn't enough to beat a team that was at 500 now. So speed is the name of the game.
Parker, concerns with the Packers?
Concerns, they kind of range in just overall consistency, I think. Packer defense, frankly, was, I'm okay with it. But offensively, you just, like Gray was saying, you've got to see some better decision making, both out of Jordan Love and I think play calling. We'll get into that later, though.
The most serious topic in our top seven at seven at number six is this. Giannis tweeted earlier this week, does he have any college eligibility left and could he suit up for Marquette in their most recent game? So the question is, how dominant would Giannis be playing for Marquette? Conrad.
I really wish I could see that. It would be awesome. He would score so many points, especially, you know, kind of in that not the greatest conference in the Big East. So I would say maybe 75, 80 points in the first half.
And just in the first half. I would tend to agree with you because there's really, there really aren't a lot of dynamic post players in college hoops. They're kind of rare. Number five in our top seven at seven. How interested are you in the NBA Cup? The Bucks won this apparently last week. I have no idea what this is. Gray.
More interested in it than I would be in a normal regular season start, if only just. And as the outside fan looking in, I think that's kind of the point. This is something that seems like it's worth noticing, even if it might not actually be. And so I'm looking more than I might normally.
Conrad.
You know, I think it brings some excitement to the regular season. You know, sometimes in the beginning of the year, not everyone likes to watch. They like to watch towards the end of the season when it's getting towards playoffs. I think this brings some excitement. And also for those rookies, they can get some extra cash.
There you go. It's all about the walking around cash. Parker.
It hurts me a little that we have to motivate our guys in the middle of the season with a monetary award. But you know what? Sure, if it brings in more fans, what the heck? Why not?
Show me the money. Number four in our top seven at seven. So the Packers lost last week wasn't just on the scoreboard. They also lose Tucker Kraft for the year with an ACL injury. So what will the impact of losing Kraft be? Conrad.
I mean, he is a yak beast, and it's going to be tough not getting those extra yards after contact. And I'm really sad. I'm really sad to see him go. And next year, I think he's going to come back better and better than ever.
Parker.
I worry a little bit about what the locker room is like without him right now. An injury like that, a torn ACL, and especially to somebody like him, is pretty concerning, I think, is going to bring down some spirits. But I'm a little worried, too, about the offense now because Jordan Love has really started to lean on Tucker Kraft. and putting him into big roles. We'll see what happens with his options now.
I see Gray pulling out multiple spreadsheets right now, so I hesitate. But Gray, what is your take on this?
Man coverage. We lose one of our man coverage threats who can go up for a contested ball and beat man coverage consistently. The only remaining consistent man coverage beater is Christian Watson. So as far as I'm concerned, losing Tucker Kraft ends up looking probably like one of two things. Either someone else steps up to cover it, Christian Watson breaks out, those are kind of the same thing, or it looks really bad, and I'll leave that one there.
Number three in our top 7 at 7, the Brewers made a number of roster move announcements, as they are required to do following the end of the World Series. Any surprises from the announcements, Parker?
Honestly, not really that much. A lot of stuff that you pretty much would expect. Brandon Woodruff, he's going to end up being a free agent. I mean, that's the guess. Brewers offered to him, didn't get anything. As far as players go, no surprises. I think the one thing that nobody had on their radar was Ricky Weeks is moving into a recruiting deal for international players in the organization. That is something I'm really interested in.
It is a curious move. Also, the only foul ball I've ever caught at an MLB game is Ricky Weeks. So ooh, that's hanging out on my shelf here in my home office. Number two in our top 7 at 7. This might be the most talked about sports story of the week. It could be number one, but we like to save our Packers predictions for number one. Number two in our top 7 at 7 is, what would you have decided with Luke Fickell's job status? It was announced that Fickell will be coaching in Madison in 2026. There are a lot of ways to look at this. Gray, I'm going to start with you.
I think I would do this about exactly like the Badgers are currently going about it. I think Chris McIntosh explained it quite simply and effectively and made it sound agreeable, at least to me. You know, the NIL thing kind of slapped him in the jaw, and they'd really be punching themselves in the face to turn around and give up millions in a buyout, something to the tune of, I think, $24-25 million if they were to have pulled the trigger on the firing. So it's they've got to fix one problem before they can cause themselves another, and we may not like it, but it is the best of bad moves.
Conrad.
You know, I totally agree with Gray. I think, you know, originally at the beginning of the year, we were expecting this team to be really great. Once it started downfalling, we realized that we don't really have the players that some of these other college teams do. So I think using that money towards players is definitely something we should do for the next year.
Packers predictions are the number one topic in our top 7 at 7 during the NFL season. So what are your predictions for the Packers and the Eagles? We'll start with Parker.
We talked about it a little bit earlier with Tucker Kraft. I think that the Packers are going to kind of struggle on offense just to kind of find a rhythm without him. I'm not sure that Luke Musgrave or John Fitzpatrick are really going to slide in as seamlessly as you would like them to. So watch for a couple of hiccups offensively for the Packers. I think the Eagles are going to squeak out a Lambeau with a win.
Conrad.
Yeah, I agree with Parker. I'll say our defense, I think we're going to play better. I think after that loss last week, they're going to come out strong. They're not going to want to lose this game. And it's a good team, so we're going to play well.
And Gray.
I'm very disappointed that you guys don't believe in McCallan Castles, the next preeminent tight end star of the Packers, who I don't know if he'll even be elevated. And I believe another tight end. They got their 6-7 guys back. Guys, I agree with you. I'm feeling a tight loss on this one. But we don't have a man coverage beater outside of Watson. We absolutely need one. The Eagles have loaded up on names, including Jair Alexander, who's going to be hot if he plays this one. And I believe he is. He's been practicing. So I'm worried. I'm thinking 27-24 Eagles.
It's Monday Night Football this week. So our broadcast coverage on Civic Media stations around the company will happen on Monday night, with coverage beginning at 5 o'clock on several of these Civic Media stations you are listening to right now. We're going to get a little more in depth with the Packers. We're going to get an update right now from Mike Clemens, our Civic Media sports reporter. That happens right now here on Make the Call.
A win for Wisconsin. Good morning. I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers with an easy victory, 97-72 over Northern Illinois at the Kohl Center last night in Madison. The Badgers' Nick Boyd scored 20 of his career high 25 points in the first half and was asked how he was able to get off to such a fast start.
Honestly, just being aggressive. And then, you know, they got to respect my teammates out on the court so much. It gives me just so much space to play, which is why I wanted to come here. It's just, you know, when we get stops, I got the freedom to just fly down the court. So I love that, too. So between those two things, being aggressive, them giving me the space with their ability to shoot, and us playing fast, is just my type of game. So, I mean, I just feel like come in and just try to be aggressive as much as I can.
Head coach Greg Gard was able to experiment with various lineups of players while securing the win.
Yeah, I mean, I want to continue to develop different combinations that we can use and see who works well together, who, you know, if you have, hopefully you don't have foul troubles or other things down the road where there's probably not going to be a lot of times you'll have Boyd and Blackwell both off the floor at the same time. But yeah, I think those guys do a good job of, and I'm still learning, you know, Carrington's game. You know, I still want to get, you know, Hayden Jones more time, which I think for both those guys tonight was good. But I needed to get, much like those bigs, even though Carrington's a senior, I need to get him more comfortable with us. And the same thing, obviously, with Hayden. And when you're able to do that, it's always a benefit to get guys more experience and more laps around the track.
NBA, the Bucks beat the Chicago Bulls last night in Milwaukee, 126-110. It was the first round of the NBA Cup Series. Despite Giannis Antetokounmpo scoring a season-high 41 points, head coach Doc Rivers said after the game he wasn't pleased with how things started out.
The first half, I actually told our team as a group, it was the worst shots we've taken this year in one half, you know, as a group. I thought contested shots, early contested twos. I thought we were very impatient offensively. And then in the second half, the ball started changing. We started going downhill. We started getting our shooters threes, and the whole floor opened up, and we got back to being us again. And the same thing for Giannis.
The Bucks host the Houston Rockets tomorrow afternoon, tip-off time at 2:30. College football, Wisconsin against Washington today at Camp Randall Stadium. The kickoff at 3:30. Washington is 6-2 and ranked 24th in the nation. The Badgers are 2-6. Now on Thursday, the university announced in a series of scheduled media interviews that Luke Fickell will be back next year as the head coach of the football program and that the university will work closer together, including raising funding for the program to make it a success again. Coach Fickell says injuries have taken their toll this season.
So we've been put in a situation where, you know, we haven't had our starting quarterback, and we've had to try to grow through those things along with, you know, even more so the where we've been with the offensive line this year. It is probably something that's, you know, even been a little bit more of a Achilles heel than the quarterback position, if you really kind of look at the grand scheme and how we were, really are kind of building to be successful.
NFL, the Packers host the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football. Coming back to Green Bay is former Packers first-round pick, defensive back Jaire Alexander, just traded to the Eagles last week. Jaire talked about his return to Lambeau Field, now wearing an Eagles uniform.
I mean, it's gonna be nostalgia, you know. It's going to be fun seeing the guys that I grew up with and, you know, being in the town that, you know, pretty much raised me in the NFL, you know, that's always fun.
The Packers lost tight end Tucker Kraft to a season-ending torn ACL last week in their loss to Carolina. Luke Musgrave will take over those duties and says he feels some guilt after missing most of the past 2 years with serious injuries.
Yeah, it was just remorse. I've been through those two injuries in the NFL, luckily not as serious as Tucker's. It just sucks. There's no really way around it. It's a bummer deal. He's been playing great. Obviously, he's going to come back and be great again, but it's tough to see him out with the type of player and guy he is.
And tragedy for Micah Parsons, with a former Dallas Cowboys teammate, defensive end Marshawn Nealon, taking his own life with a self-inflicted gunshot wound after an incident with police. Parsons was close to Nealon and put the news of his death in perspective.
Well, I think in life, and I've been extremely blessed, and most of us who are still here, we've been extremely blessed. We had amazing people in our lives to be there for us, and, you know, I've had family who dealt with these same challenges. I mean, we all have. And it's like, how can we be there for them the most impactful way possible?
That's Packers defensive end Micah Parsons. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Thank you, Mike. We have a lot coming up on the program today still. In our next segment, Make the Call, we are going to hear from UW River Falls football coach Matt Walker. The Falcons take on UW lacrosse today. The winner takes home the WIAC, or at least a share of it. Later in the program, Jake Kokorowski breaks us down on the latest on the Badgers. That's all coming your way next here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network. Back in a bit.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
I'm joined by UW River Falls coach Matt Walker, and we're talking not only about a big game coming up later today as they get set to take on lacrosse, but I want to talk a little bit, Matt, about the program itself, because for a little bit of background, I'm a Northwestern Wisconsin guy. I mean, way back in the day when I was still in high school, I used to go to River Falls for the Wishbone Camp, and you guys run a much different style of offense these days. But it is really interesting because for a long time, from when you took over, River Falls football was in the bottom half of the standings most years, and all of a sudden we found ourselves here the last 5 years where the program is now in contention. In fact, this week, in contention for a conference title. And I am curious, very curious about just a few of the steps to build it. I know there's a lot of things we could talk about, but I'm curious for you, what motivated you to stick with it and help get your team to this point?
Well, I think you mentioned the Wishbone Camp, and it touches on the history of the program. It's one of the things I truly appreciate a lot about this place. There's a rich, long tradition here, as a lot of the teams do in our league. I explain to people all the time that everyone's kind of had their run in this best league in the country. Everyone's had their little moments. The league's been a cycle forever, this nonstop cycle. And, you know, we just put an 80s group in the Hall of Fame, the 84 to 87 guys that won four in a row, the 75 team that was Coach Farley's first one conference title. They were here for the game against Whitewater last week. And so anyway, you touch on some history there. And so when I was thinking about the job, I just knew, you know, it's been done there before. It's an incredible location, best league in America. They're talking about these plans for this new facility that I now currently sit in that wasn't there at the time. And I just thought it was one of these things where we could get it going. It obviously took longer than anybody wanted to. Nobody's more frustrated than me at how long it took. But I had a clear vision, and I knew that we could do it. The ability to recruit both states and kind of treat Minnesota as an in-state, you know, a portion of our recruiting map was a big deal to me. I thought that could be an advantage. So we just stuck with our plan. I wish I had the answer of why it didn't go better before COVID. I would have done it a long time ago and before that, but we just kept hitting our head against the wall. We couldn't get over the hump. We had some good teams. You know, we started off, we had 42 kids on the team the day I took the job. No talent. We had culture issues. We had recruiting relationship issues. The rebuild became a restart, and it was even messier than I thought when I got here. We'd barely won a game in the decade of the 2000s, and we just had to go to work knowing we were going to get our butts kicked the first few years. And boy, did we. We just did. And then some momentum, you know, we got a little recruiting going. People learned who we were. And then the building broke ground. And I think that was some momentum that we needed, you know, kind of midway through the rebuild. And then we got to 19 before COVID. I thought we had a really good team, and we still laid a three win egg out there and didn't turn it. And I'm like, damn, I don't know what the heck to do. But COVID, I told people it was kind of a good time for me. I maybe needed it to take a breath. And I'm going to make a point here. Going back to the Wishbone thing, when River Falls was rolling back then, they just had unique identity. And I don't know if, you know, the Wishbone's not the answer for me. It's not who I am, but it was very clear. You're a kid that grew up from Wisconsin. Everybody identified River Falls football with something, and it was Wishbone, smash mouth, nasty football. And so that COVID thing, it was a time where I'm like, you know what? I want to be brave. And we talked about dabbling in this tempo offense, and I'm like, boy, look, we need to be unique. We need to be different. And so that was kind of a big moment for us. And we decided, I don't want to dabble anymore. We want to snap the football faster than anybody in the world that plays American football. And we've done that. We've become that. We got great identity. It's attracted players. It was a program decision, though. You know, Jake Wissing was my offensive coordinator my entire career. And I moved him to defense over COVID. I said, buddy, I need you to go over there. You're the most trusted guy I have in the game of football. Most trusted friend I have in this profession. I need you to make this move. And God dang, he found his calling. And now we have, you know, a pretty amazing defense, and clearly you've got this national brand offensively. And now we've just started to attract some recruits, and you know, we had the success the year after COVID went, you know, you win 9 games, and it just jump-started the whole thing.
Well, you talked about the transformation, not only with the program going into the Top Gun offense and just the fly around defense, but the facilities themselves, because I remember covering the training camps there with the Chiefs, you know, and being there for those. I still have some of the press credentials on my wall, in fact. And now when I go back, and I've gone back to do games, you really do see it. And I think there's a certain amount of pride in that too, not only in the physical space that you're in, but just the fact that, as you said, there is an identity to the program. For you, what was the that moment, that kind of breakthrough moment for you when you realized this was all kind of coming together?
Like I said, I thought in 19 we had a good team. And then, you know, it was interesting that COVID time became a moment where you had to go make sure all your big good players were going to come back and take their option COVID year. When every single one of our big time players said, I'm coming back, I'm taking the option year, I knew we had a chance to be something special. And then, you know, Cole Hendrickson, not a lot of people remember that name, but he was the quarterback on that Isthmus Bowl team. I give Cole a ton of credit. He kind of became the leader of that group. He never started until that year. He backed up Ben Beckman, who was that quarterback in 18-19. And I knew there was something special with Cole, and he could really do something unique at this level when he got his opportunity. And so when they all said, I'm coming back, and Cole said, I'm coming back, I could feel that we were going to have a special year. We just did. You know, it's like that win at Oshkosh. Again, no one remember this but us, but that win at Oshkosh in 21 to seal the deal that we were going to the bowl game. I'll never forget his fourth down. We put that Ben Beise kid, that tight end, he got drafted by the Buccaneers or went with Tampa Bay there in the preseason thing. He was an NFL kid. He's an amazing player. We put him in Wildcat and short yardage. And we did about five times that game and picked it up every time. And on the big fourth and three to seal it, we decided to do the fake off and we tap it away. He catches it and taps it away from him to the sweep kid. And when that kid ran for the fourth yard of the fourth and three, it's like this emotion that I can't explain came over me. And I said, we've done it. We've been knocking at this door for so long and we just kicked it in. We're going to play postseason football for the first time in a really long time. And that was really the moment where I said, this can be a monster now. And I knew Caleb was the backup at that time. He didn't even start when he got here. And you knew he was going to be special. I knew he was unique, but he wasn't ready yet. And I said, we've done it. This can turn into a monster. And we've just kind of stayed the course here.
Coach Matt Walker of UW River Falls joining me right now. Matt, I'm going to have you stick around just after the break here. River Falls lacrosse today, the winner gets a share of the WIAC. I want to talk a little bit more about that matchup. We're going to do that right after the break here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Talking to Matt Walker, head coach of UW River Falls. My final question for you before we let you go, and I appreciate you sticking around as long as you have. I got to ask, obviously, about today's game because, first of all, it's a home game, but also, just how excited are you as a coach just to be able to be and have this opportunity today?
Well, obviously, we're pumped. I was very clear with the team after the game. I don't know if you heard any of my interview and stuff and media stuff after the Whitewater game. I'll say now what I said then is I'm very careful to not make it about the current players. It's their time. It's their chapter. It's always about their journey first, and they're the ones putting in the work at the time. But I said even that week leading up to the Whitewater game, I pulled on some of the history heartstrings more than ever with, you know, all these close losses to Whitewater and how that's one of the humps we haven't gotten over yet since we've been here, of all these accomplishments and national rankings and the Whitewater hump we hadn't broke through yet. So to get that win right after, again, an emotion that's hard to put into words. But I said, you know, we're gonna talk about it on Monday for 5 minutes, what it means, and then we got to get back to the process. And we did. You know, it's like you can not say anything anymore, but you can try to create your own narratives. One of the things I've changed is these kids know more than I do. They're looking at websites and watching stuff like you and Logan Hansing and D3 Football. They know more stuff than I do about the math and NPI. And so I don't hide behind the truth anymore. So we say it's the 5 minute cloud talk, these goals that live in the clouds for us. We talk about it for 5 minutes on Monday. And I'm like, listen, beyond the playoff stuff and the conference title opportunities and stuff, like we haven't won an outright championship since 1985 here. We haven't shared a title since 80 or 98. We haven't been to the playoffs since 96. I'm like, that's important for you guys to know as being these members of this family that I consider, you know, bigger than just yourself because of the history. So we talked about it. We're so excited. I told him, you've earned this too, man. Like, it's okay for 5 minutes to think about it and take a little pride in, you know, what you've done for the history of this program. You've written a chapter now that's going to be talked about for a long time. But now you have the opportunity because of all your hard work to do something that, you know, you're talking Hall of Fame type teams around this area. So, yeah, God, couldn't be more excited. November football, that means a lot. Conference title implications on the line. You can't write a better script than our little world of Division III football.
Coach Walker, I really appreciate all your time and sticking around so long with us to talk about it. Huge game today. Really excited to follow it from afar. I appreciate getting a chance to talk to you so much over the years and to have this time with you today. Good luck today, and I look forward to having more time to talk to you down the road.
Well, I appreciate it. I think this is the best level of football. There's nothing better than this. And guys like you and D3 Football and Logan, everybody that supports it on any platform, we need more of it because it is just the best damn level. And we need to keep educating people on Division III football. So thanks for everything that you do.
Thank you again, Coach Walker from UW River Falls. Again, they play lacrosse today at 1 o'clock at Raymer Field in a big WIAC showdown. If we look at college football in the state, we have the Badgers taking on Washington today. But the big news this week was the administration at UW coming out and saying that Luke Fickell will stick around for another year with the Badgers. And to talk about that, we welcome aboard Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer. With all the things that are happening right now, this is what people are talking about because the Badgers have struggled on the field a bit this year, and this announcement comes kind of midstream in it.
Right, and I think with Wisconsin too, it's it was coming to this point, Jimmy, really? I mean, take a look at my old colleagues at the State Journal for Badger Extra. They reported about a meeting Chris McIntosh had with recruits a few weeks ago. And the message, essentially how players inferred it, was that he was coming back. I just have an article up on Badger Observer talking about how Wisconsin, a couple commits, Luke Fickell was on a call with them last Monday on a Zoom call. And, both of them confirmed that he said he was coming back. Right. And so you've seen Chris McIntosh have the vote of confidence even before that, after the Maryland loss, but even a letter that was first tweeted by Zach Heilprin from WOZN saying that, this investment, right. So this felt like an official type of, announcement. And so that's the thing that I think with, I think it's been coming and I think he needed to say something to that point where there's been a lot of, from media, from former players speaking out. So they wanted to make it clear. It sounds like he wanted to make it clear that Luke's coming back for the 2026 season and they'll go from there. So, I think it's, I don't know if I realized it was going to be that strong of a story because I thought it was like, this is how everything, the tea leaves looked, right? Well, it has become quite the story over the past 48 hours.
I just wonder what the additional financial investment looks like, that piece of it, because that part of it still looks a little unclear to me.
Oh, we all do. Oh, to be a reporter and to learn actually what NIL numbers are and what, rev share is and the exact numbers and the exact distribution of which programs are getting what money. And what it all means, right? I'm not trying to sound frustrated, but that's just the life of a reporter right now. Because it's also tough for any national reporter to actually figure out the actual numbers as to what's happening. And so I think that, you like hearing it. There is a point of saying, we're not going to tell you exactly because that could be a competitive disadvantage. That's true to an extent, but I think I also feel people would like some range of a number to hear how they're investing and if it's coming from somewhere else or if it's brand new type of investments. So something that I'm always going to continue to dig into on Badger Observer. I know plenty of other outlets are too. So stay tuned, folks, and what should be a very interesting final four games of the 2026 season, along with a very busy winter offseason as well.
All right, BadgerObserver.com is where you can find Jake's work. He has a recap up, saw go up on last night's men's basketball game. Volleyball, of course, playing this weekend as well. Plenty for you to check out. Jake, thanks for your time, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
You have a wonderful weekend, y'all.
Thank you, Jake. And while we're on the Badgers subject, we're going to welcome back in our entire roundtable of Greg Gunderson, Conrad Krieger, and Parker Olson. And before we get into looking ahead at our Civic Media sports calendar, what's on our calendar today is a Badgers football game. They play Washington. They have a weird kickoff time of 3:30, a 1:30 pregame for many of the stations on the Civic Media Sports Network today. I'm just going to start with asking you guys on what you're kind of feeling or expecting from the Badgers today. Badgers haven't won in 2 months. So I will open this up to anybody on the roundtable. What are you expecting from UW versus UW today?
Well, I think Washington has been one of those games where we thought we could win maybe, But Washington has just got better over the year, and we've gotten so much worse. So I think they're going to win by 30 points, probably, maybe more. And we can maybe score 7. If that happens, that would be pretty cool.
Remember at the beginning of the year when we said, yeah, maybe the Badgers will beat Washington? If I'm reading this correctly, Washington is number 24 in the country now? Well, crap. That's not good for us, guys. That is very, very not good for the Badgers. I worry a lot. And Conrad, yes, if we could score 7, that'll be dancing in the streets.
They were the only unranked opponent remaining on the schedule outside of Minnesota. And how's that Minnesota game looking, guys? That's what I'm thinking about right now. I'm looking ahead to the future. Let's call it optimistically. I'm looking ahead.
So the game today kicks off at 3:30 with a 1:30 pregame, Badgers versus Washington. And again, that is on our many of these same Civic Media stations here later today. Does give us some time, though, to look ahead to Monday. Now, we get a whole day between today and Monday. We get a whole Sunday slate of NFL games to watch. Just kind of in the interim, I imagine that a lot of you will be taking in some of the other NFL games. The Vikings, for example, play Baltimore on Sunday. So there are a lot of games between now and the Packers. But the Packers-Eagles game, it feels a bit revenge toury to me after what happened last year. And also maybe from the off season where the Packers tried to ban the tush push, the Packers Eagles Monday night game certainly has a little bit of intrigue to this one.
And the thing is, of course, Jimmy, it's since been revealed that the Packers were the chosen scapegoat by the league themselves to nudge this one, as the Lions were for a different initiative. But frankly, I don't think that matters. That fact is no shield against an angry Jordan Davis, for example. You stand in front of him. I dare you. That's a defensive tackle with a touchdown earlier this season. You don't want to do that. And I'm frankly, that's one of the guys I'm most scared of. Jair Alexander looks like he's going to be healthy. And like we said earlier, man coverage is going to be an issue. The other big thing I'm looking for, penalty yardage. Packers at 58 penalty yards a game. That's a whole drive they just give up. And also the Packers have not received a first down by opponent penalty yet. I think this season or within the last 3 games, I don't remember which. I'll update you on that one.
You know, a person that maybe we haven't talked about too much on this roundtable, we talk about the big players, the Parsons, and, you know, Nixon needs to play really well this game for us to win, and we need to hit for him to stop getting these penalties. Gray, what do you feel about Nixon going into this game?
I think he's capable of it. I don't think the boneheaded it looked like he stood still on a deep pass. I believe, I don't remember which game that was. It looked like he was just kind of caught with his feet flat in the end zone when there was a deep ball just shy of it. I don't think that was as bad as it looked. I don't think his pass interference a couple weeks ago was as bad as it looked, but he still has to play almost perfect for this to work against the Eagles' high-powered offense. I basically think the Packers have to do what the Panthers did when they came into Lambeau last week, which is, if anything, make no mistakes and rely on the Eagles to make mistakes. My big question is Devontae Wyatt enough to stop the tush push? And I'm afraid that may or may not be the determiner of the game, which I think is going to be a tight one. I just fear, anxiety, excitement, but not all in good flavors. That's how I'm feeling going into this one.
I sent to one of my buddies the other day during the Packer game. I said, Keyshawn Nixon, don't tick me off challenge, impossible mode. It's just, I swear every game he does at least one thing that ticks me off. And frankly, I really think that the Packer defense is going to struggle a lot. The secondary is going to struggle a lot. I think with Devonta Smith and AJ Brown, I think those guys are going to be some problems.
You made a very interesting point, actually, and it speaks to a larger theme that I think we've both kind of contributed to. It's mental errors. The Packers have to cut down on mental errors. I mean, yes, I know Derek Brown almost required holding penalties to prevent him from eating Jordan Love's lunch over and over, but we've got to find a way to just not do that, because it's not a way to win. Even though you prevent that one sack, cool, we lost the game, doesn't matter. So we've got to find something workable, whether that's at the offensive line. Micah didn't show up in that game because of extraordinary offensive line play out of Carolina. That also can't happen. Like, each of these things happen for legitimate reasons. Each of these things cannot continue. So there's a chance. It's just not as big as one as I would like. I hate to be the fair weather fan, but it's bad weather out there this week.
You know, Parker, I agree. Nixon does tick me off a lot. And I'll say it's because he's thinking about the next celebration he's going to do every play. Because if it goes way over the defender's head, he's going to celebrate that. And he did nothing to it.
That
might celebrate
be
it really well. Like, he's got some good ones. Just, yeah, terrible timing.
That might be one of the most annoying things that I think about on a daily basis is how athletes just celebrate doing absolutely nothing.
You're down 21. I'm with you. I shout at the TV about that, if anything at all. It's celebrating. Why are you down? Okay.
The first down celebration when you're down like three scores is one of my personal, like, that's like a cringe moment, right? It's,
yeah, if I'm celebrating when I'm down that far, I'll celebrate if I've scored the three touchdowns that make up the comeback. Then I'll like own that because that's me. But like, no. You're 10% to 5% done. Calm down for a minute.
Put your head down and do the work. Let's go. Win a game, fellas.
Grindstone. Yep, exactly.
Do your job. Do your job. Very popular refrain in sports. Well, the NFL slate has all of the NFC North teams in action on Sunday, besides the Packers, Ravens, Vikings on WELY in the Civic Media Network, Bears and Giants, also a noon game. And then an afternoon game has the Lions and the Commanders, and of course, Packers, Eagles. Monday Night Football, 5 o'clock pregame on many of these same Civic Media stations. Guys, it's been great talking to you this week. Thank you guys for all of your time here today.
Thanks, Jimmy. See you next week.
Coming up next on Make the Call, we are going to talk high school sports, state football results from last night, and look at some of the state championship matches today in volleyball and soccer. Also, some state events staying in Green Bay for the next 5 years. We'll talk about it next here on Make the Call, a Pacific Media Sports Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
The WIAA has announced that three of its state high school sports championships will stay in Green Bay for another 5 years. Executive Director Stephanie Hauser said that the WIAA is happy to keep girls and boys volleyball and girls basketball at the Resch Center through 2030.
We are excited about the 5 years. We feel that it is a commitment by all parties involved to say we love it here, we want to stay.
Brendan Bruss, president of PMI Entertainment Group, which manages events at the Resch Center, said that he hopes the state tournaments stay in Green Bay for a long time.
In our mind, I mean, we're not looking at just 5 years for these state events. We're hoping that we're booking these for many, many years past that.
Nick Meisner of Discover Green Bay said that the events support local businesses.
These events have a massive impact. For girls basketball, we've been averaging about 35,000 fans that are coming to Green Bay with an economic impact of over 2 million, about 2.2 million. And since the expansion of volleyball to 32 teams and 25,000 attendees, we've grown that economic impact in Greater Green Bay up to $1 million for that event. So this extension is a really big deal for our community.
Hauser said that the community has been supportive of hosting the state tournaments.
We feel the welcome when we come to Green Bay. And again, we're not looking to go anywhere else. We truly love it here.
In terms of hosting the culminating event, Bruss said it's their job to make it special for everyone who comes to Green Bay and the Resch Center.
You want the players, you want the coaches, you want the schools, the communities. When they say we're going to state, you want to feel like they're going to an experience that they'll never forget, that provides them with, once in a lifetime memories. And the Resch Center really does that. And when you walk into the volleyball tournament, the basketball tournament, I always say, it feels like the biggest event of the year.
Meisner said there's community pride in bringing the state championship events to Green Bay.
We're just absolutely honored to host these events and be the community that that when kids say they're going to state, that they're coming to. It's something that our community and our businesses really take pride in. As you go around the community, you'll see some of the welcome signage that we've provided to businesses to help welcome not only the competitors, but their families as well.
The Resch Center has hosted the girls volleyball championship since the venue opened in 2002. It added girls basketball in 2013 and boys volleyball in 2019. Now, those events will stay in Titletown for another 5 years. Speaking of the volleyball tournament, let's get a rundown of what's happening at state right now. Coming up later today, we've got the girls volleyball championships, and we'll recap the boys volleyball championships from last night. But today is championship Saturday, Division 5
starts here in about an hour. Newman Catholic taking on Rib Lake at 9 a.m. Division 4 has Heritage Christian taking on Regis. That's at about 11:30. Division 3 is Watertown Luther Prep against Manitowoc Lutheran. That's at 2:30 p.m. D2 is Sauk Prairie taking on Grafton. That's at 5 o'clock. And then the championship, Division 1, is Hamilton against Divine Savior Holy Angels. That's at 7:30 tonight. Last night in boys volleyball, it was Middleton getting the state championship. They defeated Germantown in straight sets 3-0. Middleton finishes the season undefeated at 39-0. Congratulations to the Middleton Cardinals. Today is also the state boys soccer championships at Eline Soccer Stadium in Milwaukee, and the matchups today include Division 4. It will be Oostburg taking on Sturgeon Bay. That's at 1:30. In Division 3, at about 4:30, Catholic Memorial gets Notre Dame. Division 2's game is at 7 p.m., and that will feature DeForest against Whitefish Bay. The Division 1 state championship is actually how we start our day today at about 11 in the morning, so 3 hours from now in Milwaukee, Madison West takes on Marquette. That is your state field for soccer and volleyball coming up later today. Well, football moves along to its semifinal round in 11-player football. So in Division 7, where we start, it'll be Kenosha St. Joseph Catholic taking on last year's runner-up in D7, Potosi Cassville. That game is being played on one end of the state, and then you go a little bit further north, and you've got Lourdes Academy, which is based in Oshkosh, taking on Cochrane Fountain City, which is north of La Crosse, in the other Division 7 semifinal. In Division 6, it will be Darlington taking on Manitowoc Lutheran on one side. On the other, it's going to be Mondovi taking on Edgar, the defending state champions. In Division 5, Lake Country Lutheran and Mayville square off on one side of the bracket, and then Stratford, also a defending champion, taking on Northwestern on the other side. Division 4, it'll be Columbus and Little Chute meeting on one end of the semifinal. Baldwin Woodville gets Winneconne on the other. In Division 3, we see Reedsburg continuing their run as a 4 seed. They won 38-14 in their matchup, but how about this? 8th-seeded Whitefish Bay keeps on winning. They defeat 3rd-seeded Martin Luther 28-7. It'll be Reedsburg and Whitefish Bay to play for a trip to state. On the other side of the bracket, Grafton takes on Catholic Memorial. Catholic Memorial, perennial contenders that they are. In Division 2, Homestead will play West De Pere on one side in a semifinal. It'll be River Falls against Notre Dame on the other. And in Division 1, Muskego will meet Bayport, and Arrowhead will play Wanakee. Those are all four of those teams' perennial powers in their own rights. And how about this? In 8-player football, the championship a week from today in Wisconsin Rapids is an all-Chippewa County final. It'll be Gilman taking on Chippewa Falls McDonald. And as a very proud Chippewa County kid growing up, I am very excited about the matchup, as you have two teams from my home county squaring off for the 8-player championship in football, again in Wisconsin Rapids a week from today. Badgers men's basketball got a win last night. Today, it is Badgers football turn to try to get a victory. The Badgers take on Washington, a 3:30 kickoff, an odd start time, a 1:30 pregame on many of these same Civic Media stations. Coming up on Sunday, we will have the Vikings in Ely, Minnesota. They will be playing in their game. We also have the Detroit Lions at WUPY up in Michigan. So now we have collected three of the four NFC North teams and their broadcast rights across the Civic Media family of stations. You have the Vikings and the Lions playing tomorrow, and then the Packers, of course, Monday Night Football against the Eagles. That happens Monday night, and we'll have coverage for you beginning at 5 o'clock across the network on several of these same Civic Media stations. I'm Jimmy Kuska. I want to say thank you to our guest, Coach Matt Walker from River Falls. Big thanks to Jay Kokorowski of BadgerObserver.com. To our roundtable, and that is Greg Gunderson, Conrad Krieger, and Parker Olson. I'm Jimmy Kuska. Thank you for joining us for another edition of Make the Call here on the Civic Media Sports Network. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community.
Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.